Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, episode number 9. My name is Sean, and it is July 19th, 2016, and that could only mean one thing. It is live SmackDown TV, live draft for the WWE news and rumors and much, much more, as we always provide you every week here live on Beyond the Ring with Big T. And now, live from the city where the new Republican nominee for President of the United States and WWE Hall of Famer is Donald Trump, it's his buddy, Big T.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Sean, again for the wonderful intro. We are here this week, ladies and gentlemen, for live draft coverage. As I said, be here because our coverage is better than anybody else's right here on the internet. So join us right now. Share this video with all your friends. Get it going around the internet and all that good stuff. And together we will make this the biggest show and be on the ring with Big T history right here on YouTube, also on the podcast for those of you listening in iTunes land. And make sure on the YouTube part of it that you like this video, comment on it, and subscribe. We're 224 subscribers. Let's get that moving on upward tonight, and let's spread the word that our show is here. And well, you know, first off, for my little opening thoughts as we got the draft just starting now is
Stephanie and Mick Foley are about to Stephanie and Mick Foley have just drafted Seth Rollins number one for Monday Night Raw.
That was my prediction. Well, they just took my monologue away because I was just going to say I think Seth Rollins would go one for Raw and AJ Styles would go one for SmackDown. So there you go. That deserves a hand. All right, so Rollins, number one to Raw.
Now we have Stephanie and Seth on Raw. Sorry, Tuesdays, you lost already.
Well, you know Raw is going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
Because of my number one lady's running it.
Shane and Daniel Bryan are about to pick SmackDown's first pick.
I'm going to say AJ Styles.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. See, I was, remember when I told you on the phone, Sean, that the title match will be between Raw and SmackDown, and it's going to be a battle over the title? Did I or did I not tell you that, like, a few hours ago?
Shane McMahon, the commissioner of SmackDown, has just drafted the world heavyweight champion, Dean Ambrose, to SmackDown. But don't fear, just because he has the belt doesn't mean he's the best.
Well, I like Stephanie's dress, how it says Raw on it.
Yeah. Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon have just drafted Charlotte as Raw's second draft pick. The WWE Women's Champion is on Raw.
To me, that's a wasted pick.
Yeah.
That is a wasted pick. That is one of the worst things they could have done. Drafting, you know, Charlotte at number two, that's a joke. That is a complete joke. Raw, you really fucked up on that one.
I'm just glad I'm going to be at Battleground and it won't be I think it'll be one of the last regular non-brand specific pay-per-views. AJ Styles has just been drafted to SmackDown as number two.
Wow.
Future Hall of Famer AJ Styles is number two on SmackDown.
I'm just trying to find any late breaking news or anything that might have broken.
Man, how about this? SmackDown is not slowing down here. It's like, right off the bat, you better be tuned in at 8 o'clock or you're missing it.
Yeah, Raw already hit a speed bump with Charlotte. They already fucked up.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, please be who I think it is. Because then that fantasy match could happen. It's someone from NXT. Who are they going to announce?
Finn Balor, drafted to Raw. Beautiful.
Do you realize Finn Balor could also compete in the cruiserweight division on Raw? I wonder if that's how they're going to start him off. Because he's under 205 pounds.
I doubt, oh, well, the cruiserweight division might be the main belt on Raw.
That's what I'm thinking. It's going to be a standout.
I mean, Seth Rollins could even compete for that.
All right, so SmackDown had their two, Raw had their three, because for every two SmackDown picks, Raw gets a third, and now we're going to have a match before, I guess, they do the next round of two and three.
John Cena has arrived here in Massachusetts, his hometown state, to quite obvious John Cena sucks chance here on SmackDown Live.
Did you see Stephanie dancing behind the desk?
Yes. Yes, I did a little bit.
Should dance into John Cena's music.
We have yet to see any, new SmackDown branding like it was rumored to be.
Yeah, there's no new set. See, now this is what's really pissing me off is I want a new set. I want a new set for Raw. I want a new set for SmackDown.
Why is Byron and Michael Cole here?
Why is Byron even here? Why couldn't they have JBL here instead of Byron?
Yeah. No one likes Byron.
Dude, they have three Raw guys there because Byron's on Raw. Or no, it's two and two. It's two and two. They only have really one true Raw guy there, which is Michael Cole, because Byron does both. I don't know how Byron does both because he sucks.
The only people that like Byron are the people that Byron tweets on Twitter because he has to try and get over as much as humanly possible.
Okay,
here's my thing. Finn Balor got drafted number 3 and then they immediately announced this match. It's perfect indication that Finn Balor will be appearing at Battleground during this 6-man tag match.
I can agree with that. You know what? It would be no better way to see the debut of Finn Balor. But here's one thing I don't like. John Cena versus Luke Gallows to kick off the show. Luke Gallows I don't see as a threat to John Cena at all.
See, I do. I look at the Bullet Club as a lot more serious of contenders than any of the Wyatt family could ever dream to be. I hate when, you know, people might just assume by their size or their look that, you know, they're just they're just another Wyatt family. But in my opinion, they're a lot more than that, and they're all serious contenders.
What about, thank you for everybody tuning in. If you're enjoying this draft coverage, make sure you hit subscribe right now. Hit that subscribe button. Here comes Enzo and Cass. What, are they going to stand in the corner of John Cena? I'm assuming so. Enzo and Cass, man. Love Enzo and Cass. He's 7 foot tall and you can't teach that. So how do you feel, Sean? Did you get to, while Enzo's cutting this promo, did you get to see anything from the WWE Championship match last night at all?
No.
Sean, are you still on with us?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello, hello.
Now I can.
Yeah, your video's frozen. Okay, now you're good. Yeah, I did not get to see the match, so I've been watching the RNC out in Cleveland all day today after I got home, and it was a really awesome sight to see Donald Trump get the nomination. But luckily, we will have a rematch tonight live here on SmackDown.
Yes. I'm actually plugging in my computer to keep the charge going because I don't want to get dropped out of this.
Loving to see the club beat up John Cena like they love to do.
Hey, how's the new mic sounding?
Sounds good.
Perfect. Whoa, dude, I love this. So much for having to worry about commercials. Look at that. See, now this is what they should do. Raw, SmackDown, not just because this is a special occasion. Look at this. They're having a commercial break, and you know, you can hear the commercial, but on the left side of your screen, they leave a little split screen of what's going on in the match so you don't miss anything. What about that?
I think it's the future of television.
I love that. That is perfect what they're doing right now. So we can still let you know what's going on in the match, and it looks like Luke Gallows is in control of John Cena here.
Well, if you want to take a little break from the I'm hearing a bad echo.
I was hearing you come through very slow on my end.
Full Wi-Fi here.
All right, you still there?
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
While we're taking a break here from the action, if there's anything you wanted to cover in the news and rumors world.
I don't have anything lined up right now. Because honestly, I had to scramble to get this together, so I'll have to do mine the next break.
Okay, sounds good.
It sounds like your microphone is being covered up by something.
Hello, hello.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I had my laptop on my laptop cover.
But look at, oh, Cena, Luke Gallows up for the A. Oh, Cena falls right face flat forward. Anybody that's tuning in right now on the YouTube side, make sure you subscribe right now. Hit that subscribe button. Leave those likes. Leave those comments. I will check back in the comment section on YouTube. I will answer any questions you guys have. Leave those comments, likes, and hit that subscribe button right now. All right. So we got Starbucks commercial along with the action still going on the left side. Luke Gallows is in control of Cena right now. I noticed how they plot these matches out now during the commercial break. Like, it went to commercial, the match was still going even, and then they're going to come back from commercial with either Gallows in control or both men down, or both men trading blows. And it looks like it's Gallows being in control. See how they kind of set that up there?
Yeah.
But so far, Gallows and Cena having a hard-hitting matchup. Let's see, we got Battleground this Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're going to that, Sean.
Woo!
I know you gotta be excited.
Beyond, man.
You gotta be pumped up as pumped up can be. Believe me, I know the feeling. Yep. Better than anybody's. I know what you're going through right now and how happy and overwhelmed that you have to be.
Yup. Hopefully sometime in December we get to go to a show out in Pittsburgh together now with the split pay-per-views. Maybe we'll even get a pay-per-view.
I hope so. But while we're talking, Balor actually finished, and if you go overall picks, Finn Balor got chosen number 5 overall.
Yep.
Which I think is a phenomenal feat for someone that's going to be just making their debut on the main roster.
I think it's phenomenal that he was picked before Roman Reigns. Will Roman Reigns be picked? What's going on with that?
That was the question I was just going to ask you, Sean, and thank you for bringing that up. Will Roman Reigns even be picked? Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know if he will be or not. There's a lot of controversy. Wait a minute. Oh, Styles? How ironic is that? Styles already has a SmackDown shirt on. So you knew he'd get drafted before it went on the air. They just blew that secret. Oh, yeah, attitude adjustment. Oh, Cena.
Yes, they're going to lose on Sunday.
Yep. You know the same logic.
Yeah. So hopefully Finn Balor joins. Well, how would he join the club though? Now with Styles on. Well, that's the thing. I don't know what's going on.
Well, the whole thing, we don't know where Gallows and Anderson are even going to end up yet.
Yeah.
We know Styles is on SmackDown. So the club can be very well broken up here by the end of the night.
Well, the rules are stated that tag teams are draftable as teams, so I think the club could have gone as a three-way in one pick.
You know what? You got a point there. All right.
I think Seth Rollins is going to win and probably, unfortunately, lose it on Sunday, but I'll just be happy to get pictures of him coming to the ring as a champion.
Champions versus challenges. Okay, so we got Rusev, the U.S. champ, Miz, the Intercontinental champ, going up against Darren Young and Zack Ryder. I honestly don't give a shit about this match.
And look at, like, who's the real... Obviously, the champions have freaking Maurice and Lana at ringside with them, and the challengers have freaking Bob Backlund. I'm sorry. I'm pulling for the champions.
I'd rather be in my corner.
Well, that's not an option right now.
Well, but anyway.
Let's hear
All right.
On your mind.
Yes, for to kick off my portion of news and rumors here during this commercial break, the Raw ratings for Monday night's WWE Raw broadcast are in. How did the show do? Well, I'm going to tell you about it right now. The ratings for Monday night's WWE Raw broadcast are in, and the show featured a rise in numbers prior to the WWE draft. Monday night's WWE Raw broadcast drew 3.133 million viewers with a 1.13 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic. Those numbers are up 3% and down 1% from the previous week's 3.171 million viewers and 1.1 demo rating. WWE Monday Night Raw ranked number 2 among cable originals for the night, trailing Love and Hip Hop Atlanta on VH1 with 1.4 demo rating and 2.818 million viewers. Here are the hourly numbers. Hour 1, the 8 o'clock hour, 1.18 demo rating with 3.204 million viewers. 9 p.m. hour, 9 o'clock hour, 1.16 demo rating and 3.236 million viewers. And then finally in the 10 o'clock hour, in the third hour, which I am really shocked to see this, with a championship match as the main event, a huge drop off to a 1.05 demo rating and 2.960 million viewers. So well, even though overall the numbers are up,
yeah,
you know, 3% and down 1% respectively, that drop off in the third hour when you've been advertising a world championship match as your main event, that is very concerning that you can't hold your viewers even when you have a rare WWE title match on your card.
Well, this is my thing with Raw championship matches. I almost think that they cannot be advertised as main events because, like myself, when you work 7 in the morning, you can't stay up until 11 o'clock at night. You just can't.
That's true. And like, what was it last night when, you know, you pulled an all-nighter and then you had to work and then trying to watch Raw, you couldn't get it done.
I fell asleep at 6 o'clock. And woke up at 1:30 and got to go through some of my DVR. So hopefully a lot of people had it DVR'd and those numbers will be raised. Because DVR recordings, once they're watched, actually adds to the ratings. So the ratings do increase over time as a result of DVR watches.
And if you don't want to watch it on DVR, Sean, tell the people where they can find out everything about Raw from last night that they need to know.
You could watch it live, well, record it, but it was live last night, if you will. Of course, here on Beyond the Ring with Big T, YouTube channel, you could watch Big T's tremendous Raw review from last night. I know I got to see a good amount of it, and I'm definitely looking forward to going back to some more, but yeah, check that out on Beyond the Ring with Big T. YouTube channel, Raw Review Live from last night. We're back here with Stephanie and Mick Foley about to have another draft pick for the flagship Monday Night Raw.
Well, let's see.
Stephanie looks like Santa's little helper here. I'm kind of getting into that.
Oh.
Reigns just picked number four.
Listen to the booze.
Yeah, a raucous, a resounding boo fest up in Massachusetts at the moment.
See, so they did split the Shield. This sucks.
Well, yeah, we knew that since the first two.
Yeah. Oh man, John Cena.
He's on his way out. I said this, if John Cena's been drafted to SmackDown, and if that were the case, it's inevitable that he's ending his career where he started it, on SmackDown.
That's like The Undertaker when he had his last title runs, he was a part of SmackDown. All right, who's Stephanie going to pick for the next pick on Raw? Let's see who she's going to pick. Oh, my God. Brock Lesnar to Raw.
Brock Lesnar has been drafted to Raw, one after Roman Reigns, notably. Stupid planning by them, but what have you. If I were Shane and Daniel Bryan right now, I would pull one under the rug and go with a contracted wrestler, Triple H. I mean, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Randy Orton, so Randy Orton's probably on his way out being part of the veteran talent for SmackDown. So now think about this, Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton will be the last interpromotional matchup.
Now that I don't really like.
You don't like Orton on SmackDown?
No.
You would prefer to have him on Raw?
Definitely.
Uh-oh. Stephanie's drafting the New Day.
Hey.
Now she needs to dance with them.
Yeah. At least that one's still alive.
Yeah. The vaudevillains just need to be cut.
Hopefully they lose their championship on Sunday. Here comes
one champion.
Oh, never mind. Sorry, that's Rusev. They played Rusev's music, but it really sounded like no chance in hell.
Who do you think is going to lose their championship Sunday?
Aren't the New Day defending against the Wyatt family or no?
No, it's a six-man tag.
God damn it.
I think they're saving it for Enzo and Cash, just like I speculated on. I think that's where they're going with this. Why am I just not interested in this match? I'm really not.
Rusev and The Miz, the U.S. and Intercontinental Champion, are taking on the challengers for this battleground this coming Sunday. Darren Young and Zack Ryder, the ravishing Russian Alana, and the French-Canadian beautiful toast. Maurice are at ringside along with WWE Hall of Famer Bob Backlund supporting the challengers. Zack Ryder gets a tag in on Darren Young. Zack Ryder with an over-the-rope belly splash, getting a two count on the IC champion, The Miz. Zack Ryder taking The Miz to the corner.
If I text you something, Sean, is your Seth Rollins ringtone isn't going to go off, is it?
Probably. Okay, now it won't.
All right, because I need to text you something.
All right, well.
That way you know. And then you tell me when you get it. But until then, Miz taking over on Zack Ryder here.
Okay, now we're good.
All right,
well, Big T, if you gotta excuse yourself, buddy, go for it, and I'll cover this match like it's my job.
All right, I'll be back in as soon as I can. I just gotta take care of some business real quick.
All right, yo, and if you can, if you can mute your mic so we keep the background noise to a minimum.
All right, I'll mute it right now.
All right, thanks.
All right, just keep up, and hopefully there's no dead air.
Yep.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, we have Rusev got tagged in by The Miz. Now he's kicking away and stomping away, if you will, at Zack Ryder, a former U.S. champion, I believe. A nice pump handle suplex slam by Rusev to Zack Ryder here. Live SmackDown Tuesday. I'm so glad to be with you here on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for some special treat of a live commentary show. I'm glad I have this opportunity, and we're going to have a lot of fun tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up later tonight, Battleground Predictions. I think I forgot to announce that in the announcement earlier, but now I'm saying it. Battleground Predictions coming up during the second half of the commercials here on SmackDown, as well as a little bit of overtime Battleground Predictions. Darren Young gets a tag in and is doing some work on the champion, the IC champion, The Miz here. Some nice in-ring ability being shown by Darren Young. Will he be made great again this Sunday in DC at Battleground? A nice pop-up knee buster. I don't know what that's really called, but that's what I'm going to call it right now. Rusev just, I think, came in the ring illegally, and Zack Ryder just got pumped up by Rusev, only to be conned out of that by Zack Ryder real quick. Now Darren Young and Zack Ryder in control of this match. Zack Ryder with a vicious missile dropkick to Rusev on the ringside apron. Bob Backlund is losing his shit, being all sorts of psyched for his protege, his apprentice, Darren Young, and up a cross-face chicken wing just made the Intercontinental Champion The Miz tap out. Darren Young wins the match via submission, crossface chicken wing. Daniel Young and Zack Ryder are victorious. Bob Backlund, the WWE Hall of Famer, is getting in the ring to celebrate with the two up-and-coming performers here, and Lana and Maurice are none too happy with their fellas. Maurice checking on her husband, The Miz, and Lana doing the same here with her fiancé, Rusev. Later tonight on SmackDown Live, we're going to have a 2-on-1 handicap match. Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, the women's champion, and Dana Brooke. Sunday, we will have a tag team match with Sasha and a mystery partner, possibly either Trish Stratus. Yes, that's her, who I think it might possibly be. Shock everything up. Trish will turn heel on Sasha, or some are speculating Bayley too. Hey, wouldn't blame it on that. Would not be too unhappy about that. And yeah, so that's what's happening with SmackDown Live at the moment. And we have some breaking news here on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for our SmackDown Live coverage, Battleground predictions, and news and rumors. We have Mark Middleton of WrestlingINC.com is reporting that a fight has been reported at the backstage of WWE SmackDown tapings. What is up with that? There was a fight earlier today at WWE SmackDown tapings in Worcester, Massachusetts, between Sin Cara and Simon Gotch. The fight happened at catering, according to PW Insider. We're still waiting on more details and we'll keep you updated, according to WrestlingINC.com. Thanks again to Mark Middleton for providing us that story. So what does this mean? Was this a work? Is this an angle to try and fuel a rivalry between the Lucha Dragons and the Vaudevillains, or was this legit? I mean, sometimes, you know, the best gets to people and there's fights. I mean, these are men and women that are away from their families for months at a time out of the year. And, you know, tensions are at an all time high, I'm sure, pretty much close to every day. It's not cupcakes and butterflies, people. This is hard work. And sometimes, these things happen. So, hopefully it's nothing too serious, and we'll keep you posted with more information on this backstage fight as the night progresses. Also, Austin Aries was seen at the WWE SmackDown and Draft viewing party at the WWE Performance Center tonight. Austin Aries tweeted, "Excitement and speculations abound in the WWE Performance Center at the SmackDown Live WWE Draft viewing party." And I'm sure they are very exciting times at the Performance Center, considering some of these guys at the Performance Center in NXT could be getting a surprise draft. Could you imagine? You know, you're sitting there down in NXT, you bust at your butt for a year, two, three, maybe even four, and you hear for the first time you're getting drafted to the main roster. What a spectacular occasion it must be, and I'm wishing all of them the best and best of luck. Here's a picture of all of the talent waiting down there at NXT. Noticeably absent from the lineup is Finn Balor. Do not see him there. I do see Asuka. I do see Austin Aries. I see Bayley. Bayley is there at the viewing party. Nia Jax. Hideo Itami. And many, many more. If you want to see this picture, you could check out WWE NXT on Instagram and follow up with it there. Now we're back live on SmackDown as the Wyatt family approaches the ring with his fireflies illuminating Worcester, Massachusetts. And possibly during the next commercial break, we'll cover a story that is all over world headlines at the moment. Brock Lesnar has been reported to have violated the wellness policy for UFC. But we will talk about, is the WWE's talent wellness policy, does that apply to part-time wrestlers like Brock Lesnar? It's an interesting situation, and we'll keep you posted here during the next SmackDown break. Bray Wyatt's making his way into the ring to take on Xavier Woods. The New Day is in the ring as well. They're donned in all Raw attire. Pretty funny. I think, it looks like, Big E and Kofi Kingston are dressed as Super Mario for Halloween or something, but in any event, we got a match going on underway right now. Bray Wyatt back in action, live on SmackDown, taking on Xavier Woods.
Two of your favorite people, Sean. I wonder who you're rooting for here.
I'm rooting for world peace in this one. None of the above.
I thought you might take Bray Wyatt, but you took neither.
Come on, referee.
Xavier Woods is really, like, intimidated a lot by Bray Wyatt. Look at how scared he is just hovering in that corner.
Bray Wyatt has been dreadlocking his hair, it seems.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I have noticed that.
I didn't know they dreaded hair in the swamps of Louisiana. Whatever.
Hey, to each his own, I guess. The crowd is going nuts.
Maybe it's not dreads. Maybe he just hasn't washed it in 5 years.
Hey, you never know with the Wyatts.
Man, I can hardly go more than 5 hours without washing my hair sometimes. I hate that greasy feeling.
Oh, I know. I hate it too. Wait, what is Bray Wyatt doing? Is he trying to convert Xavier Woods, so to speak?
It sure seemed like it, but now he's doing it the old-fashioned way with a trip to the woodshed. Thanks, JR.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I don't know if you were listening, during the commercial break, I reported that Simon Gotch and Sin Cara reportedly got into a fight in catering today.
I heard about that when you were reporting on it, and I'm like, wow. And you know, Sin Cara is no stranger to getting into fights. He got in a fight with Sheamus backstage, beat the crap out of Sheamus a few years back.
I did not know that.
So, I mean, this is something that has happened before with Mr. Sin Cara here.
Is this the same Sin Cara as it was?
Yes, this is Hunico.
Okay.
Yeah, Hunico basically dressed up as Sin Cara.
Well, Bray Wyatt is just taking Xavier Woods to school. No surprise here, if you ask me. I don't find Xavier Woods to be the slightest bit of a challenger to the beastly Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, there's no way that Xavier Woods is going to be any sort of challenge. Now, if they would have put Big E in this matchup with Bray Wyatt, now then, that would have been something I think that we could have sunk our teeth into a little bit, but
yeah,
they didn't go that route. Why? I don't know.
And don't get me wrong, people. I would never criticize the athleticism of Bray Wyatt. Never have, never will. What I will criticize, though, is the bit of dullness that I think the character has acquired. All thanks to WWE's lack of creative. I mean, this could have been one of the best and most interesting characters of all time, but WWE creative just jobbed him out to Cena, jobbed him out to Taker, back-to-back WrestleManias. It's like, who's going to take that serious? No one.
Exactly.
Don't put him in those don't put someone who you're trying to build in those type matches if you're just going to have them lose. If you're going to build someone serious, I'm sorry, you have to let them win.
Well, yeah, you have to. They can have good showings all they want until the crowd comes home, but, you know, they need to definitely have, you know, more to it.
Xavier Woods just with a big knee to Bray Wyatt, who gets up in that backbend position right into the Sister Abigail. He's down. It's all over. Good night, Mr. Woods. Bray Wyatt picks up the win via Sister Abigail.
Honestly, that's not a surprise. Not a surprise at all.
Bray Wyatt just freaking gnarly rubbed his pit in Xavier's face.
Bray Wyatt's as ruthless as ever, I think.
I agree with you there. I think, I hope they had that time off to really regroup and, you know, rebrand these characters, and I'd be happy for that. I could get into that.
And that's very, quite possibly what they may have done here. Because the Wyatt family is starting to turn into like a new age ministry of darkness or something, like where it would be intimidating to, you know, it'd be intimidating for anybody.
Well, Big T, when you were gone there a little bit ago, I told the people I would talk about this. And then if you cover the last news story of the hour coming up next, not next, but after, you know, in the next commercial, but does the WWE's talent wellness policy apply to part-time wrestlers like Brock Lesnar? Well, Brandon Howard of WrestlingINC.com is hopefully going to give us an answer to that. Is Lesnar considered to regularly perform in-ring series for WWE? Vince McMahon was interviewed in December 2007 about the wellness policy, which was enacted in February 2006. In that, McMahon said that all at the time, again, December 2007, he himself had never taken a drug test under the policy, reflecting the language that's still in the policy today. He emphasized the policy only applies to regular performer. So McMahon didn't drug test because he's not a regular performer. He had 8 matches that year, about the same number of matches Lesnar had per year lately. But McMahon is a lot older than most performers, including Brock Lesnar, who's 39. Does age have anything to do with the wellness policy is applicable to? McMahon said no.
Wow.
Whoa. Well, my computer's picking up some static here.
I didn't hear any static coming through. Is everything all right?
Yeah, that's been... Maybe I'm keeping my phone too close to the computer, but that's such like a 2002 problem. But anyway, real quick, WrestlingINC.com contacted when the news broke about Lesnar's initial potential drug test failure to ask whether part-time performers like Lesnar have been drug tested under the wellness policy, and WWE only responded with a statement it's given many outlets that that have asked about Lesnar's status. Brock Lesnar has not performed for the WWE since WrestleMania and is not scheduled to return until Sunday, August 21st. WWE didn't respond to specific questions about whether part-time performers are drug tested. It can be reasonably said Lesnar is not a regular performer with the WWE. Since his return to the company, Lesnar wrestled 2 matches in 2012, 3-13, 4-14, 8-15, and 7 so far in 2016. Since he may not be considered a regular performer, based on the language of the policy and the interview with McMahon, it's questionable whether Lesnar has been drug tested by WWE since that return. Additionally, it is questionable whether WWE has ever drug tested Lesnar at any time since the wellness policy didn't exist during his first run with the company from 2000 to 2004. Big T, I know you have a lot of insight on this. You're going to be going to a UFC event in the... September. What do you make of all this with Lesnar? Is there any sense to be made, or is this all just BS?
Well, with Lesnar, I mean, is it all proven fact that, you know, not proven fact. Do they know what he tested positive for? I don't know if Sean is still with us.
Yeah.
But
you were cutting out there.
Do they know what Brock has tested positive for as of yet?
I do not know.
I mean, Brock Lesnar, I feel, is Brock Lesnar. Whether he does something or not, you know, like, it's like, enhance what performance? The guy has been a beast for how many years now? How many years has this guy been a beast? Like, as long as I can remember. And do I think he should still be able to wrestle? Yeah. Do I think that the drug policy should be, be enforced on him? Well, that depends. If you've never had any rules for part-time performers, then I guess not, because that was never part of your, never part of your thing, your policy. But if it was part of the policy where part-timers, have to be tested or face discipline, then I would say, yeah, you gotta punish them. But if that's not in their policy, then it's like, really, what can be done about it? Honestly.
True.
If it's not in their policy that part-time performers have to be drug tested, then if WWE wants to do something to fix this, then you have to put, that stipulation in your wellness policy. If it's not in there as of right now, there's nothing they can do to Brock Lesnar because it's not implemented in the policy. But if it is in the policy, then they can discipline Lesnar now. But like I said, if it's not, then they just got to wash their hands with this and let him go.
Yep.
That's how I feel about it.
Well, we were supposed to have a Kane versus Kevin Owens match, I believe, and Sami Zayn interrupted, and now Kane is about to double chokeslam both Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. What a waste of a segment here.
Yeah. Now this goes to tell me that Zayn and Owens will probably be picked on separate shows right here. Let's see what they have to say, because I'm sure they're going to be making their picks here after basically Jurassic Park left them laying.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Stephanie.
So Stephanie just drafted Sami Zayn to Monday Night Raw, who had just been chokeslammed by King of the Dinosaurs, Kane.
Yep. And then how much you want to bet Shane is going to combat that with Kevin Owens right here, right now?
Well, I'd be cool with that because I want to see that match for the last time. Bray Wyatt just drafted to SmackDown.
Does this mean the Wyatts are split up? Because they didn't say the Wyatt family. He specifically said Bray Wyatt. Huh. That'll be something to look into at a later date.
Stephanie just said that she's glad Shane drafted the Wyatt family. So I think it's safe to say the Wyatt family remains intact. Raw is drafting Sasha Banks. I cannot confirm that her clown car is included in the deal.
Did you see Stephanie just do Sasha Banks' boss dance?
Yeah.
I think she does it way better than Sasha.
Yeah. That was hot.
That was way better than Sasha. I think Stephanie needs to take that over. Here, Daniel Bryan, what is he going to say?
Man, just close your eyes and pretend to be Mick Foley right now.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch getting drafted to SmackDown. A huge waste of a draft pick.
Yeah, why didn't they pick Bayley? They're able to pick NXT picks. See, now I would have picked Bayley if I'm going to get a woman to build around if I'm SmackDown. I'm sorry, even though Becky's good, she's not like Bayley. No, that's a bad pick.
Dude, they've picked Becky Lynch before. Oh, wait, John Cena did get picked. Never mind.
Why would I give anything to be Mick Foley right now?
Oh, I thought that was a serious question.
It is. I would give anything to be Mick Foley right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He wrote down his pick on a paper. What are they chanting? Crowd is chanting something that I can't make out.
Chris
This is the guy who should have been drafted number one overall, the best in the world, Chris Jericho. Damn. Y2J. So how do you feel about that, Sean?
Hey, that's pretty cool. Glad to see the ability for Stephanie and Jericho to keep working together.
Definitely. Here's the Ambrose. I don't like the fact that the Shield is separated. I don't. Even though we knew it was coming, I don't like that fact. I feel that all these guys should be on the same brand.
And they will be on Sunday.
That's true.
And we will have some live coverage, some live video from Battleground. You could check it out on my Periscope at Sean9009, SHAWN9009. Big T will be there. Come and chat with us and see what it's like live at Battleground this Sunday.
Yes, definitely. People, check that out. Uh-oh. Wait, commercial for the Cruiserweight Classic.
All right, buddy. You got our last news and rumor of the night here?
All right. Oh, about the Cruiserweight Classic, like I was going to say. The Cruiserweight Classic, I wonder when that tournament's done. If all those guys that were there are going to go to SmackDown, or if it's just going to be a select few, it's a little confusing to think about it. If my computer would cooperate with me, I could pull up my news story, but it's not. Come on. Having a little computer difficulties here, so you gotta bear with me. It just doesn't want to move on me. I'm frozen up right now, which I'm not happy about. I hate when this happens. Alright, I'm having computer difficulties right now, Sean, so I'm not able to pull up a story.
Do you know what it was about?
I was actually just looking for one. I was going through, my computer froze up on me here.
That's okay. We can wait.
Let me go on my phone. I think that'll be the easiest way to go because I don't want my whole computer to crash on me.
True.
Last thing we need is to lose the whole stream here.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show so far tonight. Great flow, great energy. Hope everyone's enjoying it. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, man. This has been going perfectly. Absolutely perfect tonight. Now, let's see. I'm getting my phone pulled up here. Did you hear about Paul Heyman saying that the streak in WrestleMania 30 was a shoot?
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard of it, but I believe it.
Let's see. I'm going to pull that up. Now, I don't know how much credibility that this is going to give, but let me go right into this. This is on sportskeedia.com. Paul Heyman suggests that the ending of the Undertaker streak was a shoot. Now, the whole arena went silent with shock when this happened. Brock Lesnar ending the infamous WrestleMania. Let's see. All right. Brock Lesnar ending the infamous WrestleMania winning streak of The Undertaker. WrestleMania 30 is one of the most iconic and probably one of the most saddening moments in sports entertainment history. While in one hand it took the legacy of Brock to a level which cannot be breached easily, it also left a feeling of emptiness for fans after witnessing the true end of one of the most coveted wrestling eras. However, what if the most iconic moment, which left a sour taste in many fans' mouths, was a mistake after all? Actually, the on-screen advocate of the Beast, incarnate Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, was recently a part of an event called An Evening with Paul Heyman in Glasgow, Scotland, where he made one of the most controversial statements of the recent history of sports entertainment, suggesting that the ending of the streak was originally a mistake. Although the mastermind behind the original ECW did not say the exact words, he did suggest, as much as allwrestlingnews.com reports, Heyman said, "Is it fucking with you, or am I telling you something you were not supposed to know?" According to Heyman, the original plans for The Undertaker were to win against Lesnar, but by the third F5 The Undertaker had suffered, Brock had manhandled the legend pretty badly and then hooked his leg in a way that The Undertaker was not able to kick out and break up the pinfall. Heyman also suggested that the sudden turn was also the reason behind the fact that Lesnar's music did not play immediately after his win. Heyman explained the backstage reaction on this by saying that WWE could not have fired Lesnar for making this mistake because he was already one of the biggest stars in the company, and now he was the man who broke the streak. So the only way of dealing with the situation was accepting Brock as the one in 21-1. Wow. How do you feel of that? Sean, you still on with us? All right, we may not have Sean on with us right now. So, just a little news story there to, you know, get you guys wondering. Now we're gonna see Charlotte and Dana Brooke, two of the worst women wrestlers in the history of women's wrestling. Charlotte, I think, is
bad. Sorry about that. I had to run to the restroom.
What did you think of that story?
So they said that the only people that knew were The Undertaker, Brock, and Vince.
Well, no, they're saying that Heyman is... Now, is he playing mind games or not? But according to Heyman, because he's like, is it fucking with you, or am I telling you something that you're not supposed to know? Heyman stated that Undertaker was beat up so badly throughout the match that Brock Lesnar just hooked the Undertaker's leg in a way where he could not kick.
Did you just see that takedown by Sasha?
Yeah.
Sasha just freaking laid out Charlotte. Sorry to interrupt you there, but holy crap.
That's something I never seen before. See, I'm telling you, man, Sasha, she's definitely got something. And I think by SummerSlam, she's going to prove it to everybody. That was a double knee. That wasn't even a Luthes press. That was like a double knee takedown jumping right off the apron. I've never seen that before. That was a first. That was an original. Not like Charlotte, who rips off everything her dad does. But be that as it may, Heyman was suggesting, you know, that Brock could have hooked the Undertaker's leg in a way that Undertaker was not able to kick out, and the WWE couldn't fire Brock, and they just had to accept the fact that Brock was the one to beat the streak when Taker was really supposed to go over. I don't know, though.
I don't buy that.
I think it's Heyman just playing one of his mind games, like he said. Is it me fucking with you, or am I telling you something that you're not supposed to know? I think it's Heyman kind of...
Why Charlotte just interrupted.
That's it. Natural selection.
Charlotte gets the win.
I hope that means that her team will lose. Charlotte's miserable. Alright. Charlotte is the most boring performer, and Dana Brooke is pretty much the same. They are the most boring two women wrestlers I think I've ever seen. Sasha had match one. Of course, Charlotte had to take a shortcut, like always, like always. I don't know. That didn't leave me too happy right there. I was not happy with that. All right, who's the next draft picks? Ron's going to pick.
Rusev and Lana.
Rusev and Lana together.
Love it.
See, like, they did, like, Shane didn't say the Wyatt family. They specified Rusev and Lana.
Yeah, but I don't know if you heard Stephanie's follow-up. She said that the Wyatt family scared her, so she's glad that he picked the Wyatt family.
Okay.
Now, maybe she just didn't realize what she was saying, but, or maybe she was giving a hint away.
The Miz and Maryse.
Damn it.
SmackDown has the two main championships at the moment.
Well, either way, they're going to have a second world title match, Sean. You know that. They have to. Is I could care less.
Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens came both on Raw.
That's awesome. I think Raw's definitely winning out in the draft. I think their one mistake was picking Charlotte as early as they did. That's the one mistake.
I agree with that.
She is not a top two pick. I'm sorry. What? SmackDown picked Baron Corbin already? Cesaro's still out there, for God's sakes.
Michael Cole just called Baron Corbin a future champion.
Wow. Enzo and Cass to Raw. Wow. Shane just ripped up something and threw it. I guess that was his next pick. But see, now this splits up so many things, you know, that we could see. Like now, you know, we can't see Seth Rollins and AJ Styles because guess what? They're on different shows. Like, see, I can already start picking apart how this is wrong, what we're not going to be able to see. This is why a draft should not happen. Regardless of what's going on, a draft is not the answer. It's just not. You know, I tried to think about this, and like now we can never see AJ Styles and Finn Balor because, you know, they're not there. We can never see that incredible triple threat of AJ Styles, Rollins, and Balor like we talked about before. Why? Because Styles is on SmackDown. The other two guys are on Raw. This is why the draft should not happen. Period.
Well, we're in our first commercial break of the second hour now. So we're going to go ahead and start with our battleground predictions. Sasha Banks and her to-be-announced tag team partner versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke in a tag team match. Big T, what do you have with that?
Well, you know what? Honestly, to me, I'm starting to think a different route than Trish Stratus. I'm thinking, I mean, I still see how Trish Stratus could come back, Sean. Don't get me wrong. And it's like, in a way, I'm hoping you're right. But I'm also thinking that this is a woman who can end up returning for one night only since we haven't seen her in a while. I'm going to predict that Sasha Banks is going to get the win. Her team will get the win. And I believe that her partner is going to be Nikki Bella. Coming back. Because I don't see Bayley coming in. Just because if you bring Bayley up now, there's nothing for her to do. Because we know Sasha and Charlotte is what's going to happen at SummerSlam. There is no place for Bayley. So I don't see Bayley unless they bring up Bayley just for one match and send her back down to NXT for a little bit. That could happen, but I don't see why they would want to do it. Trish, I don't see Trish coming back unless it's like for a huge pay-per-view like SummerSlam or WrestleMania. I really think that this could lead to Nikki Bella teaming up with Sasha.
Well, I gotta think, Sasha Banks and her tag team partner Trish Stratus will lose to Charlotte and, Dana Brooke. And not to contradict or anything, but you said you don't think Trish will come back for a big, pay-per-view like this. And I'm not just saying this because I'm going. I really mean this. This could be the biggest pay-per-view. Like, you know, we're having a Shield triple threat. It doesn't get bigger than that in modern history of wrestling. This is a big event. I think Trish Stratus is going to return as a babyface, but leave DC as a heel. She's going to screw over Sasha Banks and give Charlotte and Sasha the perfect ammunition to head into SummerSlam.
I hope you're right, because I would love to see Trish. I hope you're right.
All right.
I have a little bit of a different gut instinct, so that's why I went the way that I did. But now they're showing top picks. We have Rollins, Charlotte, Balor, Reigns, Lesnar, and The New Day for Raw so far. Where's the second page of Raw picks? Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Chris Jericho, Rusev, Lana, Kevin Owens, Enzo, and Cass. So quite a bit of picks there on Raw. Let's see what SmackDown's got. They got Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, Becky Lynch, The Miz, Baron Corbin. So, I don't know. They're not listing it as the Wyatt family, so I think Stephanie's follow-up might have been an error. But, I mean, we'll see. Look at Jericho. He's, like, so disgusted by everybody in the audience. But, I mean, really, honestly, I think SmackDown will thrive. But, like, with the roster, I don't see how, you know, they're going to compete with Raw. Cesaro didn't even get an entrance. Wow, and Jericho only got, like, half an entrance. So, Chris Jericho versus Cesaro. Cesaro don't even have a t-shirt on yet because he hasn't been drafted.
Yeah.
Which is beyond me. I mean, Cesaro's a phenomenal talent. I don't know how this man is not even drafted yet. Jericho and Cesaro going at it. Oh! Wow. Cesaro running, doing a huge uppercut to Chris Jericho. Let's go, Jericho. Show Cesaro what you're all about. You're the greatest of all time.
Whoa.
What's up, Sean?
Hello?
Yeah.
Bit of an echo.
All right. Hopefully it clears up because all I got is that mic.
Hello?
Oh. To kick out after two. Jericho trying to get the
walls reversal.
Yes, yeah, Cesaro reversing that walls of Jericho. Oh, it's a very beautiful by Chris Jericho.
I think you're a couple seconds ahead of me.
I am?
I think so. Because I was saying beautiful reversal for Jericho getting out of that swing.
Jericho now. Oh, knee to the face. Now putting Cesaro in a chin lock. Ask him. Come on, Jericho. I don't see how SmackDown's going to be able to run a 3-hour pay-per-view with their roster. I already see that being a disaster. I don't see how they're going to build 3 hours of entertainment with the pay-per-view. This is one flaw that I'm already starting to see with Raw getting the extra pick every two picks that SmackDown makes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I already see something that's off. They're not thinking of the pay-per-views. They're thinking of SmackDown being 2 hours weekly, but what about that fourth week out of the month? When SmackDown has to have a damn pay-per-view. See, now, there's already flaws there and things that are going to hurt this. It really is. Like, there's just no other way around it for me, Sean. Like I said, I'm trying to be positive, but I'm already seeing flaws with this, and I think this show, I mean, so far the show's been great. It's had a nice flow, but woo! I think it still could be bigger than what it is.
Man, Jericho's still moving like it's 1999.
Jericho is legit ageless, Sean. I remember Jericho talking about why he's still able to move like he moves, and he gives his credit to DDP with DDP Yoga. He said it's added years onto his career and years on his life.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, I gotta look at it this way. Let's say the draft does last a couple years, which I don't think it will. I think this is all an angle to make 2016 exciting. But we'll talk about that, you know, as the year continues. If there
is, we'll be able to talk about that, like, in the overtime portion of the show.
If there is, like, another draft, well, AJ Styles and Finn and Seth Rollins will be drafted onto the same show. You know, you just got to realize, well, you might have to wait a year, but it could happen. And, like, I'm surprised you're so down on the draft for another reason. But, like, I understand why. But, like, a part of me is like, man, he watched it all throughout the last draft. I would think he would love it considering, you know, you had people like JBL and John Cena and Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and, you know, all of these underdogs before the draft back in 2002. They were really given main event spots thanks to the draft.
That's right. They were, and they turned out to be huge legends. And by the way, huge win by Chris Jericho with the Codebreaker. All right, that was a hand. Yeah, Jericho, woo! The best. Look at that. Look at that. Cesaro springboarding to do a stupid little uppercut. Ooh, right into that Codebreaker.
Looked like Jericho may have gotten hurt with that.
Yeah. That was a beast of a move right there.
All right, buddy. Let's just hope, you know, we build these next generation of John Cena's and Eddie Guerrero's and JBL's and Kurt Angle's and Brock Lesnar's.
Man, I hope, because I just want something exciting. I don't want, you know, the same old product. And I'm hoping.
I think that's where everyone's at right now, man. I definitely do. But for Battleground predictions, what do you have going on with the New Day, Big E, Kofi, Xavier Woods taking on the Wyatt family, Bray, Eric, and Braun in a 6-man tag team match?
See, now this one is really hard for me decision-wise because I really think it could go either way. I think it really can. Honestly, the New Day, they took a loss to the fucking League of Nations at WrestleMania, and it didn't really hurt them. To be honest with you, I think the Wyatt family needs this way more than the New Day needs it. I think the Wyatt family needs to start getting credible wins over credible competition, and I think the WWE is going to realize that. I believe it's going to be the Wyatt family getting the win over the New Day.
I definitely agree with you. I think Bray Wyatt has come back revitalized, and I really think that the New Day is on their last legs. That's just how WWE does things when a tag team like this is really over, and you know Vince McMahon probably doesn't genuinely like it. He pretends to like it, but you know, behind closed doors, he probably thinks it's stupid. I think he has the hit out on the New Day. The New Day are going to lose on Sunday in DC. Now for the U.S. championship match, Rusev, the champion, will be taking on Zack Ryder. I think, Zack Ryder stands no chance in hell. This is a filler match, but I'm happy to see it nonetheless. I think Rusev will retain.
Exactly. Nothing but filler. Rusev is going to look strong and more dominant than ever before. He's going to lock Ryder in this, like, just insane-looking accolade, and Ryder is going to be tapping like a redheaded stepchild. That's exactly what's going to happen. But I actually have a drink in the freezer, one of those old-fashioned 1893 Pepsis or whatever they are.
Yes.
And I'm going to end up cracking it open and taste testing it here on the podcast, if that means anything to anybody.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an exclusive here. We got
I also have ginger cola that I'm going to crack open too.
Two different cans?
Yep, the first can will be the regular cola, and then once I get that one down, I'll crack open the ginger.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Do not go anywhere. Big T taste testing some new Pepsi.
Hey, it's draft night. I figured I'd do a couple of different things, but here we got a commercial for Sausage Party. It's basically like, what, food getting murdered or something in a way.
Yeah, you know what? I heard Seth Rogen talk about this on the Howard Stern Show back in 2014, and now it's finally coming out.
Well, he talked about that 2 years ago already. Wow.
Yeah, I vividly remember he was talking about, like, what happens in the sort of like Toy Story. You know how, like, the theme was? What happens, you know, when in the toy box, when, you know, you go to sleep? Anyway, aside from Sausage Party, Becky Lynch is kicking the shit out of Natalia here at ringside.
Yeah. That sort of came out of nowhere. Oh, boy. I'll be right back in a second.
Okay.
Keep it going, buddy.
Yeah, we're back here live on SmackDown, Tuesday live SmackDown here on the USA Network, back from commercial to be welcomed back with Becky Lynch literally assaulting the hell out of Natalia. There has to be at least six referees to try and give them some credibility, which annoys the hell out of me. I think it looks a bit too much. You have six referees who are unable to, you know, contain Becky Lynch and Natalia. Okay, yeah, right.
I can't even take that seriously, man.
Well, back to business here with the WWE Draft live on SmackDown. Stephanie and Mick are about to take their first pick of this round. Gallows and Anderson are now on Raw, so it is official. The club is split. Will Balor...
Sorry.
Will Balor unify with Gallows and Anderson at Battleground on Sunday?
But that's why I'm thinking now. That brings further proof where I think the Wyatt family split, because see how Stephanie specifically announced it.
American Alpha.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Shit just picked up right here. Business picked up big time in the tag team division on SmackDown.
These were in my top 10 on my SmackDown roster.
Yep.
Phenomenal athletes. Very great pick for SmackDown. Stephanie looks pissed.
Well, what has Steffi got on her mind now? Let's see.
No.
No. No! Oh, my God. Why?
You're telling me you pick the Big Show before Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, and you're telling me you picked the Big Show before fucking Sorrow? That's a joke. That's a fucking joke right there. What the fuck, Raw?
Shane making which way did he go jokes. Reference back to WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, my God. Yes! Dolph Ziggler needed to be on SmackDown to hopefully get his career revitalized, for Christ's sake.
Well, Dolph Ziggler approaching his 10-year anniversary this year with the WWE.
He might finally have a chance.
Ugh.
Nia Jax. You paint Nia Jax instead of I know why they're not picking Shinsuke, because he's going to be the champ down there.
Or Bailey.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about Nia Jax. All right, Sean, here it is, and to the whole audience. Pepsi 1893 Original Cola. A bold spin on an original cola, if you can see that nice black can there. So this is, it's boldly blended cola made with cola nut extract, dark brown malt flavor, a touch of aromatic bitters, sparkling water, and real sugar. So let's see what this has got. Crack it open. Ah, yeah, right there.
Give it a smell.
Yep. Ooh, it's like a richer, more cola smelling than Pepsi. You know, like how Pepsi, you know how Pepsi has that smell? It smells just like Pepsi, except stronger. Think it'll be good. Let's give it a taste. Wow. If you're into straight up cola, and that's like the best I could tell you. If you're into straight up cola, just straight up cola tasting, you know, no flavors like cherry or anything like that, just straight up cola, then this is the cola for you. And it's nice that you don't have that high fructose corn syrup taste. You get that sweetness from the real cane sugar. It tastes like what it says, premium cola. It tastes like homemade cola compared to cheaply assembled cola, so to speak. I'm doing it.
This podcast is brought to you by the Pepsi Cola Company.
So Pepsi gets their little plug here.
Yo, I'll be right back though.
All right.
If you want, go ahead and give us your prediction for Johnson and Angel Amore and Chris Cass versus the club, AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson, and this is Man Tag Team Match. My prediction is that, like I said, Finn Balor is going to save the day and, you know, probably rival with Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson on Raw. I think the club is going to get the win. But Finn Balor will come out and prevent the beatdown of John Cena. How about you?
Well, I guess what I'm going to go with here is I take a sip of Pepsi 1893. Good stuff. I'm going to go with... I mean, you know, I think about it, this is the last time we're going to see AJ Styles and Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson all together. You know, last time we're going to see Cena and Enzo and Cass together. This is like a one-time only match. This is a very tough one for me. AJ Styles and the club got the best of Cena at Money in the Bank, which I'm seeing a little bit of a reversal. I believe Cena is going to end up getting the win. He's going to probably pin Karl Anderson or make Karl Anderson tap out. Cena, Enzo, and Cass are going to get the victory. After the match, the club in one last stand together is going to attack Enzo Cass and Cena. And then they're going to get to Cena and probably be beating them down. And like Sean said, I believe Finn Balor is going to come out and make the save to Cena. And it'll be that one special time that you see Cena and Balor in a ring together. But I do think that Cena, Enzo, and Cass are going to get the win over the club. I just think that's the way it's going to go. And then this is going to push and evolve into AJ Styles and John Cena one-on-one at SummerSlam, since they are both a part of the SmackDown brand. That's honestly the way I see this going. I really don't see any other way. I mean, I see the logic in Cena, Enzo, and Cass winning. Can I be wrong, though? Yeah. Is it something I just feel? Yeah, I don't know why. It's just, it's one of those things that's sticking with me. And I guess I just gotta go with my gut. It's one of those things I've got to go with my gut. That is my gut instinct. And
I like it.
That's just how I feel about this one.
Yo, but real quick, what do you think about The Miz versus Darren Young for the IC Championship? I think The Miz is going to retain, and Darren Young is probably going to have a rematch or some crap at SummerSlam. Hopefully not, but I just think The Miz is going to retain.
You know what? I agree. I think The Miz is retaining, too, especially with Darren Young getting the win tonight. I think they're just doing this to try to make Darren Young look strong, but I just don't see... There's not, nobody's invested into Darren Young right now. There's nothing for fans to really get behind with Darren Young at this moment. I'm with you, Sean. It's gotta be The Miz. I just don't see any other way. It's gotta be The Miz retaining the title.
Yeah, I don't see it any other way.
Plus Maurice could just slap the shit out of Backlund.
Or Darren.
Give him a little, or Darren. Battleground this Sunday. All right, final picks of the draft. And then we could call the WWE title match.
Good.
Neville. Why don't they just have Stephanie on Raw for 3 hours? I think that'd be... But Neville. Yeah, I think that would be the best way to go. We don't need everybody they're drafting. What? Why? I'm hearing an echo coming through your computer, Sean.
An echo?
I know, I know. Yeah, I heard the echo coming through your speaker. Now it went away.
Yeah, I threw my headphones in.
Oh, Natalya is going to be retiring. I mean,
well, I don't think so now.
Come on, who is it? Mick Foley can have his cheap pop, so I'm drinking expensive pop.
Cesaro.
Thank you. Finally, Cesaro. Jeez, oh man. The guy couldn't even wrestle with a fucking t-shirt on, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Alright, who?
Kane. Oh. Alberto Del Rio.
That's good. I think Alberto Del Rio needs to be on SmackDown to try to get some traction under his wheels. He really does need to gain some traction to get, you know, back up and running. No! What the fuck? This fucking piece of shit? Alright, you take over on that, Sean. I'm so sick I can't even. Oh.
Sheamus has been drafted to Raw.
Why? My shit has more value than Sheamus.
Oh.
Oh my god. That just pissed me off. You start the night with a wonderful Russell, why couldn't I be Rollins right now? You start a wonderful night like this with Rollins getting drafted number one and then you end it with fucking Sheamus.
Beautiful. Our WWE Championship match is underway. The number one draft pick of 2016, former World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, is making his way to the ring to regain his championship that, well, I guess he did lose, but by no honor whatsoever.
I should have seen it coming. You know, the two number one picks, I really should have. And I'm even saying shame on me. Rollins and Ambrose for the title. I should have known that the two number one picks would be main eventing the show. Now I see their logic.
Now, is the rest of the roster going to be revealed online tonight or what?
You know what they didn't say throughout the show? This is where I'm confused. I'm guessing we're going to have to check WWE.com. Wow.
Why is JoJo announcing this match?
Yeah, why couldn't they bring Lillian in for a SmackDown like this? I'm sorry, but JoJo's not my cup of tea compared to Lillian.
No.
JoJo doesn't even feel like a big match. Don't you feel like this match is gimmicky? Look at this. Rollins in a Raw shirt, Ambrose in a SmackDown shirt. Okay, I get it that they're repping their shows. But it's like they just threw a gimmick on this title match, it almost feels like.
You're right. Oh, Rollins sneaking attack on Ambrose. Taking down the champion. Good. The bell hasn't rung yet. Come on, Kyoto, you freaking retard. I mean, come on, Kyoto. Ring the bell.
He didn't even start the match yet. What the fuck's he doing?
Getting
just let Ambrose get annihilated. Wow. Well,
we got a little bit of action here before the match officially starts. And we're going to head on over back to our Battleground predictions. Natalia taking on Becky Lynch in a singles match. Both of these ladies will be on SmackDown as it stands now, so their rivalry has every ability to continue, but under what circumstances, I don't know. I think Natalia might get the win. Just to possibly give SmackDown a decent women's match at SummerSlam.
Wow. honestly, I could see how Natalya might be able to win this, but I just don't see these women being on the SummerSlam card. I just don't. They're not high up enough on it. I think the only women's match is going to be Charlotte and Sasha. I got to tell you, though, Natalya was basically SmackDown's last pick. And, you know, with Becky being the first woman taken, if you're SmackDown, if you're booking SmackDown, how good would it look logically to have your number one women's pick take a loss to the one drafted last? Plus, with Natty, if she's going to be leaving soon, like rumors have stated, why would you put her over? And, you know, if she's going to be leaving you shortly, just like Chris Jericho, I heard rumors that Jericho's going to be leaving after SummerSlam. His time is coming too. Honestly, I don't care about this match. I really don't. I could be wrong on this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I think I'm doing this because this is the only logical answer that I see, and I'm going to have to pick Becky to beat Natalya.
Hey, fair enough, buddy.
So far, how many different ones do we have? I know we got a couple in there.
Yeah, definitely keeping it interesting here. But, you know, we do have one more regular match of the night. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in a singles match. Both men, Raw competitors. I think Kevin Owens is going to get the win here. You know, to set up for a nice, solid SummerSlam wrap-up of this rivalry. One that has been going on since Kevin Owens' first night in NXT. How about you, Big D?
Yeah, see, I can agree with you on this one for the logic being, I could see this definitely being a nice SummerSlam, you know, like undercard. Perfect match for that. They could build this through. I think Kevin Owens is going to win by pulling some kind of dirty heel tactic. Because think about this. If you want to get Sami Zayn over big time, which I know the WWE wants to, the WWE is going to want to get Sami Zayn over big time. And to do that, you have to put him over on a huge stage. SummerSlam is a huge stage, and I think that's where Sami Zayn's redemption and everything will come full circle. I definitely agree with you on that one. I picked Kevin Owens as well.
All right, so we only have one more match left to predict, and that obviously will have to be done after this main event match here on Live SmackDown. We're back in action with Seth Rollins, the challenger, taking on the champion, the World Heavyweight Champion, Dean Ambrose, one-on-one, here live on SmackDown, live from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, this is, wow. This is going to be a good match here.
Seth Rollins driving that forearm right into the face, grinding Dean Ambrose's face right into that ring rope. Let me tell you, that does not tickle. Seth Rollins nastily kicking Dean Ambrose right in the freaking face. Seth Rollins rolling Ambrose over. Big time knee to the face.
Rollins is in complete control of this right now.
I did not expect anything less there, buddy. Rollins just driving a nasty knee to the lower back, taking out those kidneys on Ambrose. A big-time headbutt by Rollins. The champion is not looking... He doesn't seem to be representing SmackDown all too great.
No, not right now, man. He's taking one hell of a beating at the hands of Seth Rollins.
Now, one thing I might be a little bit worried about is the possibility of, since Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins are both on Raw, you know, the odds are in the favor that the championship will be on Raw by next week. But Will it be on Roman Reigns, who is the ultimate undeserving, you know, just not should be a champion? I mean, or will it be on the person who best represents the company all the way around, Seth Rollins? If they put it on Roman Reigns, we have some problems.
Yeah, we got some big problems. And just let me tell everybody, if everybody's not aware, stay tuned with us when the draft goes off of the air, because when this show goes off the air, we'll be on here with you for about a good 45 minutes. You know, do a little overtime segment, recap the draft, finish off Battleground predictions, and, you know, just try to figure out, you know, where this is all going to go. And, you know, this will be the last time that we talk to Sean on air before he's at Battleground Live. So we're definitely going to have a decent, decent after show to send you guys home with, you know, to put you out for the night. So stay with us and hit that subscribe button. I'll put the links down below for my podcast on Podomatic and iTunes. So make sure you visit. Give it a 5-star rating.
Seth Rollins driving that headlock into Dean Ambrose, who's trying to regain composure. I wish he didn't, but he is punching away at the ribs of Seth Rollins. A big smack to the face. Rollins returns the favor with a big old boot to the face and now throws Ambrose right outside that ring, but I wish he wasn't out here because he can't win that championship outside on that ring apron. And now Dean Ambrose is retaliating. Seth Rollins reverses an Irish whip right into the barrier. Ambrose just just tosses Seth Rollins right over into Lillian Garcia's little fun room over there, that little section. Now Ambrose is climbing on top of the four-man announce team. Yes, four-man announce table.
JoJo's behind them all. Did you see that?
JoJo, get in the way, please. Oh, man. Dean Ambrose just got duped into running abs first right into that barrier because Seth Rollins, ever the wise man, backs out, isn't going to be fooled by some idiot like Ambrose. Rollins up to the rope and a big springboard knee to the face by Rollins and a nice, sweet chin. Rollins music, baby, and somehow the champion Ambrose kicks out at 2.
They shouldn't be going to... Alright, how come they're not showing the split screen during this match?
Yeah, I was wondering that.
I mean, come on. I just got an echo of myself back.
Yeah, that was happening to me earlier. My headphones are in now, though, so it's definitely not on my end.
Yeah, it's probably Google Plus.
True. True that.
Sorry if you're hearing echoes, people, but, you know.
I'm not hearing them.
I hear them on my side a little bit. So, sorry if anybody's hearing it, but Google Plus just, you know, things happen with it sometimes.
Yeah, it is far from perfect of a... You would think, you know, Google being the most impressive website of all time would come together and fix its frickin' features, but we're still waiting 1 year later.
Yep. Well, let's see. What do we got here? Commercials. The Secret Life of Pets.
That looked like a good movie. Now I want Pizza Hut.
Yeah, Pizza Hut, man. It's making me think, like, ooh.
Even though TMI, Pizza Hut, it gives me the runs. It just does.
Hey, that happens to me sometimes, too. The oil, man.
Yeah, it's the only food that really does that.
It's just all that oil and all that crap that they put in it.
True. Well, speaking of opposite of oil and crap, I mean, are you making any progress on that 1893?
Yep, I'm still drinking it here. Only got a little bit left, and then I'm going to go and get the ginger cola. Hmm. Definitely enjoying it, though. Really good. What was your favorite part of Raw last night, Sean?
Well, I fast-forward through a lot of it, so... Dude, and I watched it, like, at 2 in the morning, between 2 and 3, when I was, like, half asleep. I don't know. What was your favorite part? You got to see it.
Did you see Stephanie last night?
I don't recall, no.
Oh, well, then you missed the best part of Raw, so...
I believe that.
Raw! Uh-oh. It's back. I love the fact that Mauro Ranallo's calling the match.
What do you think about how Stephanie said on the Howard Stern show that she wasn't opposed to getting provocative in the bedroom as a big fan of hers?
Made me feel good.
I like it. That just added to her attractiveness. Like she's no loser.
Oh no!
But we're back. You're right. Sorry for throwing you on the spot on that. But I was just listening to Howard Stern today, and then you're like Stephanie. I'm like, I'm gonna ask him a tough one here, but a big time running clothesline as
well. Fan of that. I mean, come on.
Well, hey, you don't know. Sometimes guys prefer little gentle flowers for their ladies, or, you know, sometimes they like thorny roses.
Hey, I'm a go-all-out kind of guy, just like her.
Yep, give you the thorns.
Yep.
Well, every rose has them, so nothing wrong with that. To quote Guns N' Roses. But,
And Steph's the best rose of the picking. Well, oh, by the way, every rose has a thorn was poison.
Oh, Brett. You're right. Michaels. See, that's why I stay on the show, to keep check on 80s rock references. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime, bud.
So I don't know if you wanted to take over a little bit here on commentary. Call uh-oh, big time reversal power bomb. Oh, excuse me, the turnbuckle bomb. You're right, Big T.
We're about to see the most frog splash in the business. Oh man.
Fuck.
Come on. Ooh, Rollins just kicks out after two. Oh my god.
I'm sorry, RVD. Yeah, you're great and all, but that is just the textbook definition. That is like Seth Rollins' frog splash is as if Eddie Guerrero's and RVD's had a baby.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Wow. Beautiful, 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 beautiful there.
Ambrose tying up Rollins, but Rollins pushing Ambrose back into the corner here. Rollins knocking Ambrose away, shot after shot. Idiot ref Kyoto, crooked Kyoto, as Trump would say, is breaking them up.
Ugh. Oh.
Ugh.
Now that concerns me right there with Rollins coming down on the knees like that, but it looks like he's okay.
Not even kidding you, I just wondered in my head real quick, how many reversals does Rollins have?
Yeah.
My PS4 mindset is still in full swing. Oh no, Rollins lost his finisher. That reminds me, if you want to see me and Big T playing 2K, you could check that out on my YouTube channel. I don't know if Big T playlisted it over here yet, but I may or may not have taught him a thing or two as the Undertaker.
Undertaker Chris Jericho, that's our classic match, man.
Oh yeah.
Look at this though. Ambrose now trying to get in control. I don't think Rollins is out of this just yet.
You're right about that.
Oh, yep, my yep, God. Yep. superplex off the top, right up again, right into the Falcon.
Love that move, fuck.
Emerald's reverse Falcon Arrow in the dirty deep.
No.
Hit one, two, three. Oh my God, Emerald's retained clean.
I gotta go.
Oh my God. No way. Oh. What?
Fuck off, Shane and Goat Boy.
I thought for sure that Rollins was kicking out of that. Like, not even kidding you. This only goes to tell me that I think Ambrose is losing the title on Sunday, but to whom is what's more concerning and what I can't figure out. Because the WWE title's going to end up on Raw. Man. I can't believe Rollins didn't kick out. I'm in disbelief.
Man, I have a strong feeling that... Well, now we can get into it. You know, our prediction for... Well, that wraps up SmackDown Live here. Dean Ambrose retains his championship.
We don't know if anything can happen at the very end yet, though. There's still 3 minutes left in the broadcast.
Gotta admit, it makes me a bit uncomfortable to see Daniel Bryan on the same management level as Brad Maddox was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering when Daniel Bryan's gonna get a Bobby, Bobby Do hairstyle and wear cheetah print and turn into Vicky Guerrero.
Wow, the New Day and the Wyatt family. See, that's not for the tag titles. So now they're advertising like last time matches that they're going to have on Sunday. And it's like, see, now this is what gets me. Look at all the match possibilities that we're going to be left without.
All I really care about is, yeah, it would be incredible to see Rollins win, and do I think he will? Yes. That's my prediction. Rollins will win. But all I really care about is that that match gets at least a half an hour. That's all I want. I know it probably won't, but a match of that caliber, I don't care if it's on King of the Ring, Battleground, In Your House, Superstars, that needs a half an hour.
Well, look at Rollins and Reigns, it damn near got a half hour.
Yeah, but with commercials, I mean.
Yeah. Well. I mean, you know, a little bit of disbelief right now that Rollins, that Rollins didn't kick out. I thought the match was going to go a little longer.
Well, I'll give Ambrose this. That was the nicest dirty deeds I've ever seen.
I never would have expected it to come off a Falcon Arrow counter. That was like something you never see. Wow. I like the fact that it ended conclusively, though. Thank God they didn't give us bullshit.
Why is Daniel Bryan trying to steal the spotlight with that frickin'... Yes, Chan.
He will get a bigger pop than Dean Ambrose. It's fact.
Well, that's... Oh, look, at now we get TVMA in the 10 o'clock hour, but Raw has to be fucking 14 until 11.
Yeah. That goes to show you the bullshit we got to put up with. We can't give you a TV-14 on WWE, but we'll give you a TVMA on Mr. Robot right after you know, SmackDown goes off the air. Oh, good lord.
Yeah, Mr. Robot's a good show, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, I'm just saying it's bull that you could get TVMA at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, but TVY on freaking 10 o'clock on a Monday.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, it doesn't make sense, does it, Sean?
Nope.
It does not make one bit of sense. And this is, like, where WWE is totally out of touch. I mean, that's the best way I can put it, just totally out of touch. Linda McMahon, mostly, because she is the most stubborn fucking old woman. She will not budge. She won't budge at all.
Well, I'm turning on the convention. Sorry, Mr. Robot.
Man. I'm gonna do a little something different. I'm actually going to turn on the SmackDown pre-show since I didn't get to see it. Then I'm gonna watch the Draft Center live after that. Because there were some things that I did miss. But, I don't know. Sean, let's pick apart this Shield triple threat, and then we'll pick apart a little of this draft. After we pick apart the Shield match, I'm going to open up my ginger cola. So, I don't know. What do you see in all in this here?
Well, like I said, no matter what, my bets with Seth Rollins, I think he would be the best bet to go with on Sunday to win the championship and, you know, really throw a wrench in this whole draft angle, get that belt off of SmackDown. I think it's bad that they're using the championship as a tool to boost SmackDown ratings. I don't think that's right. I think that the best person in the company should have the championship, no matter what show they're on, and that's Seth Rollins. And that's evident in the fact that he was picked first. Stephanie would rather have Seth Rollins on her show than have Dean Ambrose, than have the world champion. What does that say?
Yeah, that does tell you something. I mean, there's no doubt.
To Stephanie, the granddaughter of Vincent, you know, Kennedy or whatever, Vincent whatever McMahon, whoever, you know, God rest his soul, who, you know, that championship means everything. If it wasn't for that championship, we wouldn't be talking right now. Stephanie thinks that Seth Rollins is more important than that championship at this moment, and that says it all.
She feels the same way about Jericho, too.
I don't doubt that. I mean, yeah, they put that Undisputed Championship on Jericho 12 years ago, 14 years ago.
Over Austin, Rock, and Angle, because it was a four-man tournament. Think about that. Austin, The Rock, and Kurt Angle, three of the greatest talents to ever grace a ring. And Jericho went on to beat Austin and The Rock in the same night.
But the point I'm trying to get across right now is that, you know, the WWE champion was picked second to Seth Rollins.
Yep. Yep, and that goes to tell you that sometimes the title is not
on the best performer.
Yeah.
It's on sometimes, a lunatic who doesn't deserve it.
Well, hey, be happy that it's on Ambrose and not Reigns.
No.
Because with Reigns, it's only going to be that much worse. We've already gone through that, and that was the most honestly horrible period I think we've ever went through.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Every single day that championship is not on Seth Rollins, the WWE loses money and loses credibility.
Well, hey, man, you know, it is what it is, and honestly, I've been thinking about all this and trying to give you guys a good prediction, you know, something that I feel is honest and that can really hold up. And I'm in a real tough spot. I really don't know. The only thing I can tell you is I don't feel that Ambrose is walking out of there with the title for the simple fact that I don't think they're going to put the WWE title on SmackDown. Why would they put the flagship championship on the B show? Because you know they're going to have a second world title. After Battleground, whatever show is left without a world title, there is going to be a secondary world title, and I just don't see the secondary world title on the flagship A show. I see the secondary world title on the damn B show. So that's what's making me think Ambrose is losing. Whether to Reigns or to Rollins, I mean, if Vince McMahon, you know, basically, alright, I'm gonna put this as blunt, I guess, as I could be. I'm not gonna beat around the bush on this. If Roman Reigns walks out of Battleground with the title on Sunday, that means Roman Reigns' cock needs to be surgically removed from Vince McMahon's throat. That's what that means. That's exactly what that means. And I'm sorry that it's such a graphic analogy, but that's what it means. It means that Vince McMahon's lips need to be peeled off of Roman's ass and vice versa. Vice versa for both things. You know what? Roman could be doing it to Vince. Maybe Vince's cock needs to be surgically removed, not a Roman's throat, or Roman's lips need to be peeled off of Vince's ass. You could look at it vice versa. Because if you're a drug offender, like Roman Reigns, when you're holding the championship yet. Good Lord. Good Lord. I'm telling you. Roman can't win this title. If Dean wins, the A title is on the B show, which honestly really doesn't make sense. It really does not. And if they do keep it that way and they put a world title, say the world heavyweight title on Raw, it's going to be like, okay, you got the flagship show with the B title. I mean, if they're going to do this right, the belt does have to leave Ambrose if they're going to do this right, if they're going to have two world champs. If they're just going to have one world champ like I wish they would have, and then just have it separated between the two shows, come up with a number one contender. You don't need a secondary world champ. But WWE probably won't do that. They're stuck in their ways that they got to have two champs. So just for that simple reason, it obviously can't go on Roman because the company backlash would be unbelievable. I think Raw needs to have the flagship title like I stated. So I don't see any other choice except Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins has to win this match. Seth Rollins has to walk out with the title. I mean, now, you know, I'm not being a Seth Rollins fanboy or nothing. I'm just telling you how I feel it has to be because Raw needs the franchise championship. Roman Reigns can't win because he's a drug violator, and Ambrose can't keep it because he's on the B show. That leaves only one logical explanation, and that being Seth Rollins. But, you know, we'll see what the WWE is going to do on Sunday, but I say Seth Rollins will walk out the new WWE champion just because logically, if you're going to have all these things, you know, like I just stated, logically, it seems like Rollins has to win just for the sake of the A title not going on the B show. So we'll see what happens, people. We'll see what happens. I know, we'll have a complete recap of the draft. I don't know if there's more draft picks going on now on WWE.com. I'm not sure what's going on there. I know Sean had to step away for a couple of minutes, but when he comes back, we'll see what's going on there. If there's more picks going down, if not, then I guess we're going to recap the draft, recap the picks, and then feel out what we think we're going to see on Monday and Tuesday coming up. But I already know how my feelings kind of are by the way the draft went tonight. Also, we'll give our ratings on what we thought of SmackDown tonight, but the way the draft went, I already have a lot of skepticism within me. So when we break this down, this is going to be, you know, an interesting little convo here. But,
who did you predict for the championship on Battleground?
Rollins, because, like I stated, I believe Ambrose, you're not going to have the A championship on the B show. It can't be that way. And Reigns, if you have him win, that's just setting a huge backlash with all kinds of disgruntled employees in your locker room. So the only thing I can see is Rollins winning, and if Ambrose keeps the title, then that means you're going to have to incorporate the World Heavyweight title, which means you're going to have a B title on the A show, which wouldn't make sense. So the only logical explanation is Rollins has to win, and then you incorporate a new title on SmackDown. There you go. That's it.
Definitely liking the way you're thinking there, buddy. And, you know, I think we did a great job of commentating on the draft tonight, and I can't wait to hear you break it down a little bit extra here on our, little bit of an overdrive. I'm going to have to get off soon, though, because I got to eat, and I'm feeling pretty tired here. But let me go ahead and just let everyone that my SmackDown rating was 1, because that's the number Seth Rollins got picked number 1. And every other thing was pretty freaking boring and lackluster. Yeah, the draft was cool, but Seth Rollins losing, I hated it. I think SmackDown gets a 1 tonight, but our show gets a 10.
I give SmackDown a straight up 10 because we finally seen a title match in God knows how long. We've seen a good draft, even though I'm filled with skepticism. This was the first ever live SmackDown, so I'll give it a 10 with optimism. I'm not going to give it a perfect 10, but I'll give it a 10 with optimism. And we got a couple viewers in the house. If you want to break a couple things down, Sean, feel free. I'm going to go grab my other Pepsi Cola real quick. So feel free to go over something if you can. Are you still on with me?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to step away for just a minute or two.
Well, we might as well get our This Day in Wrestling History out of the way here. And then Big T will join you and break down the draft. So I'm going to wrap it up on my end here for the night with This Day in Wrestling History. We do this every week on the podcast. It's always a lot of fun. This Day in Wrestling History, July 19th, 2016, the notorious Eddie Mack of CageSideSeats.com tells us that 13 years ago today, not 13 years ago today, not much WWE history this year, this day in WWE history, not too much. Well, I could tell you this, 19 years ago today, ECW presented Heat Wave 97 from the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The main event had Jerry Lawler, RVD, and Sabu versus Rick Rude, the Sandman, and Tommy Dreamer. It was ruled no contest. Rick Rude turned on the Sandman and Dreamer, leading to a long brawl. The brawl also served as the final original ECW appearance for Jerry Lawler. Lawler's final appearance came 8 years later at the reunion show, ECW One Night Stand. And 13 years ago today, Ring of Honor presented Death Before Dishonor from the Rexplex in Elizabethtown, New Jersey. Elizabeth, New Jersey. where CM Punk defeated Raven in a dog collar match. Jeff Hardy defeated Joey Matthews and Crazy K in a three-way dance. What else happened here? AJ Styles and The Amazing Red defeated the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, to retain ROH World Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. And Samoa Joe defeated Paul London to retain the ROH World Championship. Now, 7 years ago today, TNA presented Victory Road from the Impact Zone at Universal Studios Orlando, Florida. The show was a runaway winner for the worst major show by Wrestling Observer newsletter with 82% of the first place votes. Wow, that's pretty disappointing. Where it featured Kurt Angle defeat Mick Foley to retain the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Samoa Joe defeats Sting. The match featured the TNA debut of Taz, who left WWE just before WrestleMania 25. Booker T and Scott Steiner defeated Beer Money, James Storm, and Robert Roode to win the TNA World Tag Team Championships. And Kevin Nash, listen to this, he defeated AJ Styles to win the TNA Legends Championship. And that's all the highlights there from 7 years ago today in TNA. But who could forget? We're talking a lot about Battleground. 1 year ago today on July 19th, 2015, WWE presented Battleground from the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. About 11,000 were in attendance, with 76,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. In a pre-show match, King Barrett defeated R-Truth to retain the King of the Ring crown. Randy Orton defeated Sheamus. The primetime players, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, defeated The New Day, Big E, and Kofi Kingston to retain the WWE Tag Team Championships. Bray Wyatt defeated Roman Reigns. Charlotte defeated Brie Bella and Sasha Banks by submission in a triple threat match. And John Cena defeated Kevin Owens by submission to retain the WWE United States Championship. And in the main event, this is saying Brock Lesnar defeated Seth Rollins by disqualification in a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. The match, initially ruled no contest, saw the return of The Undertaker to WWE programming. He was last seen at WrestleMania, defeated Bray Wyatt. Now, this is saying that Brock Lesnar defeated Seth Rollins by DQ. I don't remember it that way. I don't ever remember there being an official announcement that night. Nothing happened. Seth Rollins disappeared. And Brock Lesnar started attacking The Undertaker. So, yeah, I mean, I guess technically Brock Lesnar won, but, I mean, is that really fair to Seth Rollins? He didn't hire The Undertaker to do that. Undertaker came in on his own. I mean, that match to me is and for always will be and was a no contest. So that was Battleground 1 year ago today. Big T, I have to get going here.
Are you able to stand for 5 minutes to break down the draft picks? Because if you could go through the list, I'll break it down. And first off, I got, remember that one? 1893 Pepsi Ginger Cola. So doing a little taste test, ginger cola flavor with other natural flavors, premium cola spice with real ginger. This one's got boldly blended cola made with cola nut extract, real ginger, sparkling water, and real sugar. Let's crack it open. All right, I'll do the smell test, buddy. Ooh, right off the bat, ginger. You can taste, you can smell that strong cola smell, yet with ginger kind of overpowering the back of it. Let's give it a taste.
So wait, I don't know what you want me to do. You want me to read the draft that we just spent 2 hours doing?
Yeah, well, just like the full picks, and I'll give a quick opinion on SmackDown and Raw. Now, while Sean's looking that up, and I'll give my opinion of this one. I know there's some people that said they really weren't big on the ginger cola, but I gotta say, if you like ginger, it's honestly the cola for you if you like ginger. Now, me personally, I like this better than ginger ale. I like, you know, the authenticity taste of it. It does taste like real ginger with, you know, the real sugar. This has a very authentic taste. I love the ginger. This is almost like a holiday spice Pepsi Cola type thing, but not fully the holiday spice Pepsi. This is like just like a high grade of almost like it's got that ginger taste, so you get that little bit of ginger, like gingerbread taste with Pepsi Cola. It's a very interesting combination.
Cool. Well, here we go. SmackDown's number 12 pick was Alberto Del Rio. Number 11, Natalya. Number 10, Dolph Ziggler. Number 9, American Alpha. Number 8, Baron Corbin. Number 7, The Miz with Maurice. Number 6, Becky Lynch. Number 5, Bray Wyatt. Number 4, Randy Orton. Number 3, John Cena. Number 2, AJ Styles. And the number 1 draft pick for SmackDown was the World Heavyweight Champion, Dean Ambrose. The number 18 draft pick for Raw was Sheamus. Number 17, Cesaro. Number 16 to Raw was Neville. Number 15, Nia Jax. Number 14, The Big Show. Number 13 for Raw, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. Number 12, Enzo and Cass. And the number 11 pick for Monday Night Raw is Kevin Owens. Number 10, Rusev with Lana. Number 9, Chris Jericho. Number 8, Sasha Banks. Number 7, Sami Zayn. Number 6 for Raw is The New Day, Big E, Kofi, and Xavier Woods. Number 5, The Beast, Brock Lesnar, goes to Raw. Number 4, Roman Reigns, is staying on Monday Night Raw. And number 3, the Irish phenomenon, Finn Balor. And number 2, the WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte. And number 1, the man, Seth Rollins, goes to Monday Night Raw. And there you have it. Thus far, the 2016 WWE draft picks. Make sure you head on over to the WWE Network for some off-the-air draft picks that are happening as we speak. But for me, here at Beyond the Ring with Big T, thank you very much for having me again. As always, I loved it. I think this was our best episode ever. Never a dull moment tonight. And, you know, like I said, check out my Periscope at Sean, SHAWN9009. My Twitter account at SeanO9009 for exclusive Beyond the Ring with Big T wrestling podcast videos and pictures and Big T commentary on the videos, all that good stuff coming up this Sunday live with me, Sean, in Washington, D.C. at Battleground 2016 for the Shield Triple Threat match, a match 4 years in the making, finally going down, and I will have exclusive coverage for you only here on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, and of course, it's affiliate networks on my side, but anyway.
And I will be on Periscope with you, Sean, so.
Absolutely.
Everybody can, you know what, if you want to chat with me, I'll be on along with Sean, you know, promoting it. Hopefully these videos that Sean's going to get, I'll be able to put a little blog, you know, a little vlog together of, you know, everything that you're doing out there and all that good stuff. I mean, have you, is now on WWE.com, are they putting up to the minute as to who's getting drafted right now?
No, it just gives you a link to go to the WWE Network.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say if they have, like, up to the minute as far as who's being drafted, I could let everybody know, but I guess I could cover that in the next podcast with you since they're not, you know, pulling the names up directly.
Definitely. And we'll be back here, you know, next week live on another podcast with my experiences and everyone's experiences from whether you're there or at home, what you think of Battleground, Monday Night Raw, all that good stuff. The beginning of a new era. The draft era has begun. Here we go again. I mean, man, if you would have told me this when we started the year, I would have said you're crazy, but here we go again. The draft's underway. Whether you like it or not, it's happening, people, so I guess we better get used to it.
Speaking from someone that actually left, you know, the WWE product because of,
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say it was because of the draft. I mean, you know, that's just where I was at in my life personally. Like I said, you know, I was involved in a lot of sports and like a lot of my friends sort of looked down on it at the time. So I just sort of gradually faded out. But let me tell you something. Had the Attitude Era momentum carried through instead of the draft, I don't think anyone could have turned me away from it, whether my friends liked it or not. I mean, I would have watched that show if it was good. But so in that effect, I don't think the draft helped, but I wouldn't blame it for me leaving. It just didn't prevent me from leaving. It was too corroded, too polluted, all of the above back then, and I think everyone will agree with me that the first couple years of that that draft, while, yeah, it was exciting and interesting and had great rivalries like Goldberg come out of it, it just seemed too much too soon. We all loved the Attitude Era, and all of a sudden we were being thrown into, like, our happy little Attitude Era family was being thrown into this big mess of, like, you know, mess of unpredictability, and it definitely didn't help things. Will it help things this time? I doubt it. I think it's just an angle, an elaborate angle that will, you know, come to an end probably around WrestleMania 33. Here's hoping. But Big T, like I said again, thanks again for having me. And ladies and gentlemen, next time I see you on Periscope, we'll be live from Washington, D.C. at Battleground. Can't wait to see you there. And, you know, look out for me on TV. I'm going to be on camera side, so, you know.
I hope you have a sign with you. I'm hoping. Here's to hoping.
You know me. I don't like, especially people, it's going to be 100 degrees in Washington, D.C. that day. I want to be carrying as little as possible.
I guess, you know, I hope that you have a great experience into the pay-per-view scene, and I hope you have, you know, a great time, and I can't wait to catch up with you after Battleground to see how this whole thing's going to go. I guess, you know, closing thoughts on your end as far as the superstars we just went over and everything you've heard and seen from the draft tonight, which next week we'll cover the rest, you know, everybody else that got drafted, you know, after the show and off the air, obviously what's going on right now, but.
You know what? I gotta be honest.
That was happening to me earlier. Damn it, Google Plus.
All right, okay.
Let's see. Let me try to move my mic and see if that'll kick out what Google Plus is doing. How do you feel about SmackDown? How do you feel about Raw? What do you see, you know?
Yeah. Well, I gotta be honest, as the night was progressing, I'm like the same as you, you know? Echo's back. Oh, now it's gone. Okay. So you found a way to fix the echo?
I just moved my computer around and hopefully it adjusts a signal to Google Plus, because Google Plus is like playing with our heads.
Okay, so I'm like you, you know. Once the draft started getting underway, I was like, oh yeah, it's exciting. But now looking back on it, it's like, wait. This is really limiting, and you're so right. Like, they do not have the roster to be doing this right now. They just don't, and I'm not enjoying it. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, it was exciting to have a draft, but I almost wish it was just like theater-wise. Like I wish it was all just for pretend. Like I wish it didn't have any real life effect on the show, but it does, and that's upsetting me. I'm not really looking forward to it. I don't think you could have done it any right way. I don't think there is a right way to do this. I don't think, oh, if you would have picked him and him and him on this and him and her and that on that one, it would have made it any better. Nothing would have made this better because this is limiting and it's just really I'm unimpressed, you know, and I'm worried. At the same time, I'm grateful I get to go to the very last ever non-brand split regular pay-per-view. But at the same time, for, you know, the rest.
Oh, hello? Sorry, John. Didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said that, you struck a light bulb in my head. You're going to be a part of the last pay-per-view where, you know, it's interpromotional matches, basically.
Yeah, that's why I really wanted to go.
And this is a good question here. Do you feel after Battleground it's all downhill? Do you feel that you're witnessing something that's the last of its kind? I mean,
yeah.
You know, what do you see going forward?
Man, a little bit of me realized that this is, it's all downhill from here. So I'm like, I have to go. And luckily, it's close enough to home that I could. But, man, this echo is just not working. We're going to have to figure something out.
Let's see. Let me try to move again. See if that kicks Google Plus out.
But yeah, like I said, well,
wait a minute, let me try to mute my mic, see if that does anything.
Hello, hello? Okay, now we're good. So Big T must have to have like a headset in or something to prevent that. I don't know, but we'll figure that out for next week's episode. Sorry about that, people. Hope you could bear through that. I know it must have been pretty annoying, but we're going to get through it here. All I want to say is, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed with the draft. It was an exciting little gimmick. Hopefully it ends by WrestleMania. If it doesn't end and WWE sticking to their guns with this, I think you could expect the new era to turn into the shit era real quick. Not because of the performers, but because of the creative writing that will just not be able to handle this. I think Vince is in way over his head. WWE likes to pretend like they have it all figured out, but they don't. They ruined it tonight. They ruined a new generation that could have been the best generation ever. They saw all these NXT talents coming up, and I think a part of them was like, oh my god, what are we going to do to ruin this? We have to find something to do to ruin this. It's going to be too good. We can't give the wrestling fans something really good. We have to ruin this with the draft. Yeah, that's right. The draft fucking sucked last time, and we only ended it 2 years ago. Let's bring it back. Okay. That's what I feel like right now. I feel like WWE is punishing us for finally having something enjoyable. And it's going to be hard to get through because it's going to be very limited, and it's going to feel very forced, and it's going to be pretty damn boring. They're going to really have to step up the risque, and, you know, they're going to really have to raise the limit and, you know, raise the bar if they want people not to fall out left and right. Because I'm sorry, when you draft the Big Show on as like a main player, I just give up. And with that, I'm done for the night. Like I said, at Sean 9009 on Periscope. Join us on our journey to Battleground at Sean09009 on Twitter. And as always, follow Big T Beyond the Ring with Big T on all of his social media platforms. And we will see you Sunday live from Battleground as my echo returns. That's my cue. Thank you very much, buddy. I definitely had a great time tonight, and I'll be listening to your response. So hope
all
everyone
right,
has a great
welcome,
weekend.
Sean. You're welcome, buddy. You have a great weekend and enjoy Battleground, okay?
Yep, definitely will.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
All right. So, I guess I'm going to pick apart the draft here. Is, you know, I'm just going to tell you guys how I feel. Straight up. I feel, I have felt this way ever since, you know, I heard about it. I just felt doom and gloom. I felt like this is doomed to fail. You know, it started off hot, the first couple picks, and then it just kind of, you know, killed it off. And as it went more and more and more into the night, honestly, I don't know who has an advantage. I don't think anybody does. I don't see how Raw, with the little bit that they have, even though it's more than SmackDown, the little bit that they have, how in the world are they going to run at 3 hours? How? How in the world are they going to do 3 hours of television? SmackDown, with all they're doing, they got even less because their show's 2 hours. How are they going to run 2 hours of television? And how in God's name are they going to run a 3-hour pay-per-view? This is an absolute mess. This is, oh man, this is just, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. How is SmackDown going to run 3 hours for a pay-per-view when the time comes? And, you know, I'm just even thinking about this and I don't even know what to say. I really don't. This is just completely mind-boggled me. I don't see how 3 hours for a SmackDown pay-per-view is going to be made with what they have. And for God's sakes, Raw, 3 hour shows every week plus 3 hour pay-per-views with what they have now. It's not possible. It's not possible. Even with the NXT picks, you know, they really didn't take that much away from NXT, but I don't see it. I really don't see it. Oh man. I'm a concerned fan. Just like Sean, I'm a very concerned fan, deeply concerned fan with all this. And I just don't see it getting better. I see it getting progressively worse. I hope this only lasts WrestleMania 33. God knows that this has to end. This has to end at WrestleMania 33. This can't go past it. And if it does, I think, you know, that we're in trouble. And, you know, King, one of our viewers of the show, you know, he's being nice, trying to pick me up here, telling me to have hope. And King, brother, I want to have hope. I really do. I'm just very concerned right now. I am very, very concerned as a WWE fan, you know, what is going to happen here. I really am worried. And I'm going to try to have hope. I'm going to try to give it a benefit of the doubt. You best believe I will. I will try to give this benefit of the doubt. But I think the best thing about Raw is going to be seeing Stephanie come out every week. And SmackDown, the best part about that. The best part about SmackDown, you know, I feel is, it's probably going to be, I don't even know. Probably to see Daniel Bryan just because I'm a fan of him. And, you know, I always have been. Some people like him, some people don't. I've always liked Daniel Bryan. So Daniel Bryan will probably be that little bright spot for me along with Shane O'Mac. But I'm lost right now. I'm really mind boggled and I'm sorry that I'm so all over the place. But just being as concerned as I am, and, you know, the concern that I have as a fan, the, like, impending doom that I'm feeling in my gut from this, that's the problem. But I'm gonna try to give it a benefit of the doubt. I will try my best. But Battleground, I hope it's gonna be good, because honestly, if WWE lets this down, I'm gonna be really disappointed. I don't know if Sean can tell me what he thinks that Battleground is going to be rating wise. That's what we forgot to do in the prediction. That you know, we usually always do that. I don't know if Sean is still on. I know he wanted to wait until I got off, you know, because he's off for the night. But if he can pop on and tell me what he thinks the rating's gonna be, I'll mute my mic real quick. Maybe he's not on. I'm not sure. It looks like he is on, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's around the computer or not. Oh, wait a minute.
Hello?
Sean? Yo!
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
I'll give it a 10, but hopefully you guys can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, yeah, now the echo's gone. Oh, just as I say that, dude. I don't mind as long as I hear it. I just hope it's not coming through on the podcast end.
I don't think it is, because I think I would be hearing it.
Okay.
So I think we're okay, because I'm not hearing it come through on mine.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and give it a 10. Benefit of the doubt, like you said. Yeah, we're trying to be optimistic, but at the same time, the purpose of the show is to tell it like it is. And we're just calling it like we see it. I mean, we're seasoned fans. You especially, you're not going to sugarcoat it here. And, you know, I think WWE's making a huge mistake with this draft. I think we had a perfect little future plan with all these NXT stars, and WWE needed a way to F it up. And here we go again. So that's what I got to say. I'm excited for Battleground, but I'm skeptical about, like you said, filling pay-per-views. I mean, if you think that we're having filler now with frickin' Breezango, wait until you see what they come up with next to make frickin' time go by. It's going to be scarily interesting, but
I think it's going to be nothing but promos, Sean. I mean, I honestly don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to replay things from earlier in the night. I mean, like I said, I'm sorry if this is sounding negative to anybody out there. And, you know, I'm hoping to God and, you know, having hope, but there is just so much concern and so many red flags being raised here that this is an issue.
Does it have the opportunity to be good? Yeah, it does. But if we don't know by now that when WWE has the opportunity to do something good, they tend to screw it up. But I hope not. Does it seem like they willingly do it? Yes. Do they try and do the right thing? For the most part. But it sure as hell seems like this creative process is really lacking that special spice that too many cooks in the kitchen can never provide. And that being the creative team is just overcrowded, and here we go again. That's my quote of the day. Battleground gets a 10, but then here we go again.
Yeah, Battleground definitely gets a 10, you know, for me too. And I'm having that optimism and just praying that, you know, it will be that. I have to put my faith in. I have to go all in, you know, no pun intended with you know, the whole Cavs slogan. But, all right, I'm just getting a message from King coming through, and he says he's got something to say. So I think he wants us to maybe give an opinion on something. What do you got, King? Type it up for me, and let's see what you got. We'll answer your questions here. And see, fans, you can do this as well. You can tweet me while I'm doing a show live like King is. and get your questions into the show. But King, yeah, come on. Just type up your question. I'll give my opinion. Sean will give his, and then I think we're going to turn it over to EC3 to close out the show once this matter is done. But while we're waiting on King a few minutes to type up his question or what he's got to say to us here,
Yo, buddy, I'm going to get to eat. I'm going to have a bowl of cereal and get to bed. I've been up, you know, early since like 6 or so for work, so I know you know, it's just one of those days. But tomorrow, you know, I don't have to go until, you know, 2 or something like that, but I'm just really beat right now. But like I said before, I'm glad the echo's gone. That was my biggest concern earlier. I was like, oh, God, I'm ruining the podcast here with this echo. But, you know, I think it was a great show. I think it was our best show ever. Never a dull moment here. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Gives it a thumbs up. Comment.
Your microphone got low again.
Hello, hello. Comment, people.
There you go.
Like it, share it, do whatever you want. This is our best show so far, episode number 9. We'll be back next week with number 10. Big T's going to answer our buddy King's question coming up. And for me, I got to hit the dusty trail.
All right, man. Well, if you want, I'll hit you up when I totally close out over here. And
I'll definitely hit you up tomorrow. I'm probably going to, you know, get to bed here. So okay. I haven't freaking shaved in like 3 days. Well, actually more like 6 days.
Hey, look at me. I haven't got around to it either.
I know. you could rock it. That's the difference. You could rock it. Mine looks dirty. So you got that one up on me there, buddy.
Hey, man, Wolf. Oh, by the way, King just said real quick, he's like, he's watching the network right now, and Shane just drafted Eva Marie. So SmackDown right here.
Why in God's name?
Fingers in the air. You still there, Sean?
Why in God's name would he do that?
I don't know. It, you know what? He has shortage of women as it is. With Sasha and Charlotte going to fucking,
Man, my draft, I drafted Eva Marie like number 40 out of 40.
I think it was number 30 or 30. We had 35 picks. I think you got her like 30 something.
Yeah, I mean, that was out of necessity of needing a woman on the roster, but alright, buddy. I'll hit you up tomorrow, okay? See you next week, everybody.
Alright, buddy. See ya. Well, you know, now that, you know, King has said this, why on earth is Shane McMahon drafting Eva Marie? Eva Marie is, for lack of a better term, the biggest fuck up in the history of women's wrestling. She has no place on the roster. I don't know what Shane McMahon is smoking, but whatever he's smoking, please, for the love of God, give me some. Because, you know, Lord knows I would need it to take a load off my mind, for God's sakes. But, yeah, King, I'm not happy about that. That is completely inexcusable to me as to why Shane McMahon would draft Eva Marie. I have no unearthly idea why in the fuck. King, do you have quick results of who has been drafted on the network so far? Can you help me out with that? Because I haven't had the network on because I've been rolling along with the show and talking about everything else, so I've missed some of the picks. Do you know all the picks that have taken place so far? Because if you do, I'd like to report those real quick. Alright, let's see what King has to say. Alright. Let's see. Well, yeah, shame on Shane for drafting Eva Marie. My God. Eva Marie, no fans. No fans will get invested in her. No fans will care about her. And honestly, she's the biggest waste ever. I mean, I'm sorry to be such a bold, harsh critic, but that's how I feel, people, and I'm going to give it to you straight. But, you know, I've heard some big news coming out that there's, I believe, 50 superstars, former superstars or something of that nature as to, I think they're putting a lawsuit together against WWE. I'm going to look more into it. I'll probably report on that on next week's podcast. I think for brain injuries or concussions or something like that. So there's something big that's starting to come together. If I hear more on the backstage fight with Simon Gotch and Sin Cara, I'll pass that along to you as well. As far as any other coverage for me this week, I think this is pretty much going to wrap it up for me for the rest of the week, unless a big story breaks and I come on to do a short little stream, but this might be the last that you see of me until Sunday night after Battleground. If something big breaks about Battleground leading up to it, you know, I'll be on YouTube to do short little check-ins, but, you know, other than that, I really don't know, you know, when I will be back on here. I'm going to say it'll be Sunday night after Battleground. But I guess the story that I'll touch on in next week's podcast is WWE former wrestler Sue organization claiming neurological damage from concussions. And I believe there's like a list that is like 50 superstars long. So, you know, we'll talk about that going into next week's show. Pretty much what I will keep you guys up to date on is going to be everything Battleground. Like I said, if big stories break before Battleground, I will be on YouTube Live to talk about it. I'm going to be on YouTube Live after Battleground. I would say roughly around 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, possibly midnight on Sunday night, to talk about the show. I know Sean and I will break it down in great detail probably next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm thinking maybe we'll do the podcast on Wednesdays if we can, because that way we'll have Raw and SmackDown reviews along with news and rumors. So I'm going to try to do the podcast on a Wednesday if our schedules sync up. If we got to do it on a Tuesday, maybe I'll do it 9 to 11 because SmackDown ends at 10. We could go over Raw, then SmackDown when it ends, and then news and rumors and stuff like that to close it out. So I got to figure out if we're going to do it on Tuesday or Wednesday nights, but we'll see what's going to happen. But Raw and SmackDown reviews will definitely be a part of it. Also, the Battleground review will be a part of it. News and rumors. Next week's podcast is going to be loaded front to back. Make sure that you don't miss it. But leading up to that point, Sunday night, like I said, between 11:30 and midnight, I will be on YouTube Live breaking Battleground down for you and all that good stuff, kind of giving you my reaction right out of the box before I, you know, give it time to sink in. So you'll get a couple different reactions from me. You'll get a reaction right after Battleground takes place, and you'll get a reaction from me a few days later on the podcast. And, you know, we'll see if there's any differences in them, but I'm just praying Battleground's good. Like King said, try to have faith they can pick things up with Balor, and, you know, I hope Balor, Rollins, you know, that becomes like the main rivalry or the dream rivalry, you know, that can happen on WWE TV. But there's just a lot to think about right now. And like I said, a lot of concern, really a lot of concern. I'm not trying to be negative, but with the WWE's track record lately, it's kind of hard not to be negative. So, I mean, hey, I'm just trying the best I possibly can, you know. That's all I can say. I'm trying the best that I can. And we'll see where this goes, but I hope that this does not go beyond, like I said, I hope this doesn't go beyond WrestleMania 33. If it does, then I think we're going to lead into problems. Honestly, I don't even know why Brock Lesnar was drafted. Because if you think about it now, even though we've seen the match quite a bit, we can never see Brock and Cena again. We can't see Brock and AJ Styles. We can't see Brock and Randy Orton again. See, this is where the draft narrows match possibilities down, as I was talking about with Sean earlier in the podcast. Drafting, this is not the way to go. They don't have their shit together on Raw and SmackDown respectively, mainly Raw. You know, they could have fixed that up, started getting things creatively done better. Well, you have a full roster, but then they split the roster apart, and I don't know. This is just, I think this is going to be a nightmare. I really do. I'm trying to have faith, but I don't feel, you know, much faith. SmackDown was in Worcester, Massachusetts at the DCU Center tonight, and, you know, I think that's where Backlash 2003 was held, if I'm not mistaken, but, you know, other than that, I don't know. I'm just kind of lost right now, and we'll have to see what happens in the future, but I'll keep you updated on everything that you need to know as far as the draft and everything up to date. So you know where to go when you want to find something out, and that's right here on Beyond the Ring with Big T. And definitely after a hard night like tonight, but also a great night, one of the best shows that I think Sean and I have ever done. Very proud of what we've done tonight and could not be happier with what we did. As you know, if you listen to the podcast every week, we close it out with a great friend of the show. Actually, I'm going to be seeing him on Friday out in Cleveland, Ohio at AIW Absolution 11. Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III, former two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Gonna be meeting up with him again on Friday, and you know, he was very kind to record, you know, a little intro, outro, whatever you want to call it, and I always end the show, you know, with it when we do a podcast. When we're doing just a regular YouTube show, I begin the show with it, but we always close out the podcast with Mr. E. So I think it's about that time to get the video pulled up and have EC3 send us off into the sunset. And this was a blockbuster 3-hour episode, 3-hour podcast. I hope you guys will enjoy this. And don't forget to leave those likes, leave those comments, let us know what you thought of the draft tonight. And like I said, subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything, and it greatly helps out my channel. So hit that subscribe button now, and let's get those numbers moving on up here. All right. Getting the video pulled up here for Mr. EC3 to send us out the right way. All right. Let's see. Here it is. But I'll tell you, what a night tonight, and I couldn't thank Sean enough for being here and, you know, the fun time we had, and just a great night. Everything went perfectly, and I'll keep you updated on the draft. Don't forget to like this video, comment on it, and subscribe. Hope you enjoyed SmackDown as much as we did, and I will see you on Sunday night after Battleground, everybody. So take care, have a great night, and good night, everybody, and now I'm going to turn it over to Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. Good night, everybody.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.